you have people on your team right now affirming you? Do you have people on your team that are lifting you up? Are they pushing you in the right direction? Do they keep drawing your attention to things that are deadly, or are they drawing your attention to things that are going to help you? Are they drawing your attention to the challenges you need to face and the issues you need to deal with so you can be lifted?
Welcome to another message from Spirit and Truth Christian Church Ministries. I'm Aaron Clark, and these are the questions that I've had to answer. I encourage you to stay tuned in and listen to the message, Teaming Up to Live a Winning Life. God bless you as you listen.
So we open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We are talking about teaming up for a winning life. And I'm super excited about this topic and just thinking about being on a team. This is National Back to Church Sunday. And for a lot of people who have not been in church for a long time, understanding the importance of church and being committed to church, it kind of slips away from them. Understanding why do I need to do that? And I tell you what, I had an interesting discussion yesterday. Didn't know that I had actually rolled up and was breaking up a drug deal, but nevertheless, you know, they were dealing drugs right in the back of the church, and I walked up on them talking about Jesus. And it was kind of weird because, you know, I'm talking to the guy, and he kept kind of looking around me, and then this other guy come up, and I saw him hand him something, but I didn't think nothing of it. And then another big old guy came up, and I was like, and I look around and I see another guy. I'm like, whoa, okay, all right, hey, y'all dealing dope out here. But our discussion went on for about 40 minutes right there while they were dealing drugs. And because the guy couldn't let the conversation go, because I was talking to him about being on a team, and he didn't believe that he needed to be on a team. He didn't think that none of that mattered. And so I was asking him some questions about people like Michael Jordan. I said, man, you know, do you think that Michael Jordan would have done for the Bulls what he did without being on the team? I mean, he could have still very well been the best basketball player in the world, but he would have been by himself. Oh, yeah. You know, he just argued. I said, well, what do you think it would have been like if Michael Jordan would have been in Chicago one year, then in Cleveland another year, then out in Sacramento, and then if he had not just committed to a team? Because y'all know the Bulls, and they, right before all of that started to take off, the Bulls were crap. But Michael Jordan decided, I'm going to stick it out and stay with the team until we start winning. And he trusted in the support of his coach and the coaching staff to get the people into place to become who they became, become a winning team. And we are a part of a global team. It's a global team. And basketball, y'all know, is all over the world as well. But they have teams all over the world. And these teams have their different uniforms for their different cities or their sections with their different colors. And they have a coach that's all in a staff that supports them right where they are to become whoever they become. And I don't know what the Bulls looking like this year, but we hope they are a winning team. And so it is. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 11 through 16. They read like this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but
speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make its increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now I want you to pay close attention to this phrase, this last phrase there, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I want to pray. God, thank you for these precious scriptures which you have preserved over all these years and all these centuries. God, we thank you that you have preserved a truth that we can refer to, that we can understand and apply to our lives, that we may bring glory to your name in all the earth. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So that word edify, it means to build up. It literally means to lift, up, to raise, to make you something. And the scripture is basically saying that God gave gifts to this body of Christ. And when I say this body, this is a local church, but to the body of Christ, he gave prophets and teachers and evangelists for the purpose of perfecting them. So when the Bulls had Mr. Phil Jackson, you know, first they had, I forget who was the coach before Phil Jackson.
Doug Collins,
right. So Doug Collins, he did all right. You know, he did all right. But man, Phil came and said, we're getting ready to go somewhere. I'm getting ready to perfect you guys. And he had a strategy, and he worked on them guys and worked on them guys until they became one of the best teams that ever stepped on the court. And that was the plan. You know, if you don't have a good coach, you're not really going to go anywhere. We've had some awesome teams right here in Kankakee, but it's like, what are these coaches thinking? I mean, they keep running the same play. Can't they see it ain't working? And you have to question if there's even a strategy to take the people, to take the players, the people who are invested, the people who are committed, if they even understand what it's going to take to get them there. Well, the Bible says that God has given the body of Christ these people to perfect them. And that ultimately it would bring the team together to the extent that it would edify itself in love. And I'll give you a perfect example. Every now and then, if you watch the Bulls, and some of y'all might not even be old enough to remember the Bulls games when Jordan was playing. We got a lot of young people in here. But sometimes Phil would take a, not Phil Culver, Phil Jackson, would take a timeout. And he would literally call the team to the sideline, and he would just go stand over to the side. He would give them an opportunity to edify themselves, because he had taught them enough and built them up enough to where he just needed to simply give them a timeout, sit, let them sit down, get your head together, and think about the things that y'all are doing and build yourselves up and get back out there on the court. And when their time was up, he would step off the court and they would step back on the court. And this is how the body of Christ is actually supposed to work. That it is actually supposed to edify itself. Let's notice what the scripture says. It says, verse 16, it says, from whom, which is Christ, so from whom the whole body is fitly joined together. That means that Jesus Christ, just like a Phil Jackson, knew where to place who where. He knew who to make the strong forward and who to make the off forward. He knew who to make the point guard and who to make the off guard. He knew which man on the bench would be the best center. And he fitly or appropriately placed them where they needed to be placed. It's no different than when you go to tryouts. How many of y'all have played a sport in school? And then you got them tryouts, right? And you wondering if you're going to make the first cut.
And the first cut going in, maybe the second cut, you know, they falling off. But then once the coach makes all the cuts, he starts to look and to appropriate the place for each person. Well, that didn't start with sports. That started with Jesus. The Bible says that from whom the whole body is fitly joined together, appropriately joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplies. In other words, when Jordan was the guard and he was super guard, super charged, dunking from the free throw line, but without a center, without a Scottie Pippen, without a Dennis Rodman crashing them boards, I mean, not letting anything come off the board unless he put his hands on it, without the people with him, Jordan wasn't going to win. He could not win the game by himself. He had to be on a team. So we talk about the importance of church. What is the importance of church? We're looking at it. If the church would join together and we would stop having men who wanted to be Michael Jordan. You know, you by yourself and you just want to be the star. See, Mike knew how to get down in the cut and dip over there to Scotty. Or pass it off to Dennis Rodman. He knew how to get a ball away. He knew how to set picks for his teammates. He knew how to let his teammates know that it wasn't all about him, even though he was scoring most of the points. He was very good at letting everybody know that this is a team and we all need each other. We have a big problem in America today, though. It's called individualism. You hear it all the time. I'm just going to do me. How many of y'all heard that phrase before? Show of hands. I'm just going to do me. Everybody in here heard that. And we just doing me until our families are falling apart, our organizations are falling apart, and our churches are falling apart. It's because everybody's saying, I'm just going to do me. And right here in this county, you may or may not know this, but in this county, the divorce rate is 26% higher than the national average. That means if the divorce rate for the nation is 50%, in this county, it's 76%. And that's the county. That includes Bourbonnais and Bradley. We had Olivet drill down on Kankakee. Just Kankakee. I said, I'm going to put a dot right here. Just do one half mile radius on that. Can you do that? They took it to the sociology department. Call me back in a month. Aaron, I got the report. Looked at the report. It's scary. And then what ends up happening is we say, well, we can't work together. Well, that's just a reflection of what's going on in our homes. See, some people say, well, it's pride, or some people say, well, you know, it's that church, or it's that school, or it's that organization, or we didn't like them, or we didn't like this. But in reality, the relational dynamic that goes on in the first team, which is at home, is what's hurting us when we go abroad. And because the mentality has been broadly embraced that I'm just going to do me, when a conflict arises, I'm gone. I ain't got to deal with this no more. I'm done. I ain't messing with y'all no more. This just got hard. I don't like one person on the team, so I quit. What if Michael Jordan said, you know what, Dennis Rodman with that blonde hair, man, them tats, I'm done with this. I wonder if the church does that. No, he got blonde hair and tattoos. Y'all can say amen or oh me, either one. It's fine. I wonder if the church is looking at people saying, I don't like his attitude, I don't like his pants, or I don't like her shoes, I don't like the way she dressed, I don't like her hair color, and saying, I ain't working with you. And then, for the most part, we don't look at the whole team. Think about it this way. Bull Bulls come out against the New York Knicks. The lights go down and the spotlight is on the locker room door. And they like, hey, everybody on your feet for the Chicago Bulls. And five guys run out. That's enough to play the game, isn't it? But the first thing everybody would say is, where's everybody at? Wouldn't they? Where is the rest of the team? And yeah, there are five guys starting on the court. And there may be 15 guys on the bench. But you better believe it, they are important. And you know they're important because if you only saw five guys run out, you would say, where's the team? Half the people on the bench, you don't even know them. But you know they're a part of the team and you're looking for them. And some people are living like that. It's that I'm just going to do me. It's if I'm not starting, I'm not playing. If I'm not the boss, if I'm not the star, if my name is not on the marquee, if our church is not going to get any recognition, we're not in. That's not team playing. He says that he has appropriately placed every single person exactly where they need to be. Paul writes to us in another letter, he says, what would it look like if the whole body were an eye? Can you imagine big old eyeballs just rolling around? Just rolling around, stopping like. Then you see all of a sudden a big set of lips come flopping by. Then here come a doink, doink, a pinky finger. Paul says, no, that's not a body. Every single part is placed where it needs to be. I'll never forget a brother told me, he said, Aaron, this is one of my friends and he used to always be drunk. And he came by my apartment. This was a long time ago. And so he won't have a shoe on. He got his foot wrapped up. I'm like, what you done now? He said, I cut my toe off. My big toe. I'm like, how in the world did you do that? He's cutting the grass. Explain. Because usually if you're cutting the grass, you got the lawnmower out in front of you, right? Somehow, he managed to get his foot up under the lawnmower and cut his big toe off. But he said, hey, I'm just thankful for the other four. He said, but Aaron, you would not believe how important your big toe is to keep your whole body on balance. He said, my whole body is off balance and I just lost my big toe. That's what we got to understand about being in the body of Christ. Now, if he cut his toes off and kept them in his pocket and still don't put his body on balance, it's got to be connected. And it's got to be carrying something. You know, some people, if you just made this practical, teaming up. We got young people in here. Y'all in high school. And you got the wrong people on your team. They're not team players. They are, I'm just doing me players, and I'm connected to you as long as you got something that you can do for me. And for some of them it's drugs, for some of them it's protection, for some of them it's sex, for some of them it's money, for some of them it's I can cheat off your grades, for some of them it's a whole lot of things. But you just think about if it's not to edify you, because this says that this is, everybody is supposed to be connected for one purpose, for edifying itself, to lift you up. Some of you guys around people, all they do is joke and play around and they ain't going nowhere in life and all they do is waste your time. Right now, you could be sitting here trying to listen to the word, but somebody keep cutting eyes with you, trying to distract you, throw you off. He says that the winning team is the team that actually, if we go back to verse 1, look at this. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. So this is Paul writing to a team of people. It didn't say that Paul wrote this letter to Ephesus and Corinth and Galatia. It said he wrote this to one team. And he says, I'm beseeching you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In other words, as with any team, recruiting has taken place. And God has recruited these people. And they have now committed to be on a team. And he says, now that you're on the team, I'm begging you to walk worthy of being on this team. And he says, do it with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Y'all know it's that one brother in the church that just get on your nerves, right? One sister, if she come over here and open her mouth, I might cuss in church today. Y'all ever heard that? It says that we're supposed to do this. We've been recruited, and that we need to walk worthy with lowliness, meekness, and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. See, Michael Jordan may have had someone on his team that wasn't really as good as everyone else. But Michael Jordan, being the player that he was, walked with lowliness and meekness and was forbearing. This guy's skill ain't that great, but we're going to keep working with him. And then you get guys like, who was it? The dude that, the shooter, the hot hand. What was his name?
Steve Kerr.
I was going to say Kerr, but I was thinking of somebody else. Get that hot hand. First, he wasn't, you know, all of that, but Mike would keep ditching the ball to him. You know, you done blew it a few times, but I'm gonna suffer with you, and I'm going to keep throwing the ball to you to affirm that I want you on my team and I believe in you. Do you have people on your team right now affirming you? Do you have people on your team that are lifting you up? Are they pushing you in the right direction? Do they keep drawing your attention to things that are deadly, or are they drawing your attention to things that are going to help you? Are they drawing your attention to the challenges you need to face and the issues you need to deal with so you can be lifted up? Or do they keep saying, you know, you can wait on that. You don't have to do that. See, there's one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one hope, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. And then verse 7, he says, but every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He said, every single one of us. If you ever feel like just because you're young, or because you got issues, or because you're struggling, or whatever, that you don't have grace according to the gift of Christ, you left this out your Bible. Somebody scratched it out or something. Or maybe you never heard it. The truth is, every single one of you, everyone that hears my voice in Christ, you have a gift. You have something to contribute to the body of Christ. And when we start talking about what really moves things in a city, what really moves things, what's the problems? The church should be impacting government. The church should be impacting institutions. The church should be changing communities. The church should be doing that. The brother that I got into the discussion with, who told me that, you know, he didn't really, you know, he said, I got problems with the church and da 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 da. And what he think the church should be doing, he didn't realize that his son is in a program that we do, that I do. Like, your son ain't in my church. The church has reached out to your son.
See, it's the church that has the power. It's the church that has the name. It's the church that has the authority. But we got to team up so we can win. Do you feel like, and don't raise your hands up, try to answer this out loud, but just I want you to just ask yourself, if you feel like you've been recruited, you've been saved. Okay? If you believe that, and I know some of y'all are like, maybe you need to revisit the gospel truths. If you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he suffered at the hands of Pilate, that he died and was raised again the third day, and that he reigns eternally forevermore, the Bible says if you believe that, you are saved. You shall be saved. Okay? So maybe you passed that. Hopefully that got you past it. So just listen. Okay, yeah, I am. Okay, so that means you recruited. Do you believe that you have something to contribute? I bet you everybody in here could say, well, I like to write. I like to sing. I like to dance. I like to do this. I like to do that. You got some kind of gift, but you got a butt. And you got a big butt. Boy, no, let me not say that. I'm sorry. It's a big interjection, a negative interjection. Let me say that. Jordan, don't laugh at me. You got this interjection that's negative because you're negated by what you feel like you're not doing right and all of that stuff. Do you know that when you go ahead and plant both feet on the team, you got a coach that will perfect you? Jesus Christ the righteous is the one that will ultimately perfect you and make you that player that you ought to be so you can live a winning life. And some people think that all Jesus is, because all he's concerned about is us going to church. No, he ain't. He's concerned about everything in your life. He's concerned about your economics, your living arrangement. He's concerned about your education. He's concerned about your children, your family, your health, your future, your past, everything. He's concerned about it. He just wants you to walk worthy of your recruitment. You've been recruited. He wants you on the team. And he wants you to stay committed to the team. Now, how does that play out in church? Now, listen, I ain't saying that our church is perfect, and I ain't saying that any church is perfect. Every church got issues. But they are both significant, impactful benefits of being in a church and being committed to a church. And some of those are that you're connected to the rest of the body and you'll be built up. I know I couldn't be built up as a husband if I didn't stay connected to my wife. Could I? You got to stay in it. It's a marriage. And you got to stay committed to it. There's discipline issues. There's relational issues. You find out so much when you stay connected to people. You'll find out if you still got a little ounce of cussing in you. You'll find out if you still got some of that meanness in you. If you stay connected to people long enough, you'll find out if you still feel like kicking somebody every now and then. You'll find out if you're lazy. You'll find out if you're unorganized. But guess what? You'll also find out where you're strong. You'll find out your gifts. You'll see your calling even clearer if you stay connected. It's not easy to stay connected to people. I mean, our families tell us that. I mean, sometimes it's just hard enough to just stay connected to the people in your house, right? And when you go abroad, you know, that's when we start saying, you know what, I don't have to deal with this. But you know what? This is not some grocery store outfit. This says, walk worthy of the Lord. Because we are all from Christ. This is a global enterprise. a local level. Now, I'm not asking anyone in this room. There are people already committed to be a part of this fellowship, and we're doing great things together and aspire to do even more. But I'm going to tell you like this, whether you leave here and go down the street, up north, east, west, or south, you need to go somewhere and get into what God is doing and stay committed. You need to get rooted. Tumbleweed dries up quick, grows fast, and then ends up blowing around. And he says, I do not want you tossed to and fro anymore. I want you stable. Is this making sense? I want to encourage you. You know, anybody been here long enough knows that I don't make church the big deal. But the Lord has pressed on my heart that I do need to teach about the significance of it. It is significant. That's why I'm here every Sunday. I'm not just here because I was in church every day before I was a pastor. I was in church, well, not every day, but faithful. And my marriage, man, I can't imagine if I hadn't stayed in church, what would happen to my marriage? You know, and sometimes brothers will tell me something and I'm like, you've been talking to Pam. She done told him, and you know what? I'm gone. I hate all of y'all. I'm serious. It was in my grill, man. I mean, like, you know. But it wasn't. She hadn't told him anything. It was an older man able to say, boy, I know what your problem is. I know what you are you doing this? Oh, he didn't talk to. I know you talked to Pam. If you asking me about that, I know you talked to Pam. But it was staying connected to that team. And sometimes I wanted to run off because I didn't want to change. I was kind of comfortable and I felt like, you know what? Look, I work. I pull up my pants just like you do. See ya. I make enough money. I don't need you. You ain't putting no food on my table. But it's not about putting food on the table. It's about being on a winning team so you can live a winning life. Today, as a result, everything in my life is changed. Have I had hard times and hard relationships in the church? Yes, I have people in the church hurt me, hurt my wife, hurt my children, and all kind of stuff. But the Lord has taught me that ain't the reason to quit. That ain't the reason to disconnect. And I'm not condoning, you know, you got somebody abusing you in church. Get out of there. But it's inevitable if you're in a church, somebody going to do something because you're going to have new people that don't really know the Lord. And they'll come in lying and playing games with you and stuff like that. And that can happen. And I don't mean to scare you like, well, that's why I ain't going to church then. I don't want nobody lying. Well, listen, you telling me you don't lie? You don't still have stuff that could potentially hurt somebody if y'all started to really lean into a relationship? We all do. We don't want that to be the case. But one thing that I learned is through resolving conflicts in a body that I'm committed to, it really helped me at home. Because I'm like, man, if I can forgive him and then come home and don't give my wife and children the same grace, I'm just a hypocrite. You got to team up. I love to ask high school students, who is your top five? Who in your circle? Which way are they going? Adults, we need to ask ourselves the same thing. And let God show us that really being connected, really staying committed is really the best way to live a winning life. I want to encourage you today as you look at these verses, because this is what he says. He says that the whole body is fitly joined together. If you feel like, you know what, I'm that person on the bench, so what? Stay on the team. God knows where you ought to be. Verse 17, and this is where I want to tell you that That's what, this is what the other people doing. He said, this is, I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you don't walk like other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to walk in all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned the Lord, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. There's only one thing waiting on us if we disconnect from the family of God. Greediness, sin, darkness, pain. That's all that's waiting out there. But if we stay connected, God will surely keep us built up so we can stay on a team, or we can ultimately live a winning life. Praise the Lord. And God would have you live nothing less than a winning life. God's not stringing us along so we can just live as paupers and live downtrodden and with this fake piety where we always just suffering. God wants us to live a victorious life. But you know, one of the biggest contributors to us living a defeated life is people around us who are defeated and not speaking victory, not living victoriously, not contributing to victory, not even walking down the path. They're not even thinking about it. And it is incumbent upon us to be connected and stay connected to people who live victoriously. Well, hey, that's it for me this week. I'm Aaron Clark. I hope you've heard that you need to be on a winning team so you can live a winning life. Till next week, God bless you, and may his peace keep and fill your heart.